It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in to the Second Amendment Radio Show. We like to call it 2A Radio. When it comes to the Bill Carnes 2A Radio Precision Rifle Course, I want to let you know that it is two-thirds sold out. We only have about six spots left. So you can go to victoryshoot.org to look at the information and sign up there. Also, the hotel rooms out here in Pahrump, Nevada, were about an hour north of, about northwest, actually, of Las Vegas. The hotel rooms out here, there's only about 15 hotel rooms left, and that, those are at the Saddle West. You can go to saddlewest.com and check it out. If those go, there are a couple of places that I know of where you can get rooms that aren't readily, like they don't have a bunch of websites. People don't really know about where they are. They're condo rentals and things such as that. So if you run into a hitch, you can always shoot me an email off at bill@2aradio.com. Again, bill@2aradio.com. I can help you get you hooked up there. I just don't want to broadcast it over the air. I don't want to put it up on the internet because these places operate the way they operate for a reason. There's membership reasons, blah, 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 things like that. Anyhow, I was out at the range we're going to be shooting at just yesterday, and it's looking great. I did some improvements out there. Have some other planned improvements to get done. And as a matter of fact, as soon as I'm done here with the show, I am off to the hardware store to start pricing all of the target stands of sorts. It's not going to be individual stands. It's going to be like large structured stands that have all of the targets applied, and we need to build five of them because we're going to shoot at five different distances from one particular shooting spot. That's really kind of the neat thing about this class, is in most cases what you end up with is the targets that are stationary and the shooters have to move further and further and further back from the target. Now that'd be easy for me to do. I just have to build one great big target area and then everybody moves all of their crap back all the time. You walk up, look at the target, move it back. Walk up, look at the target, tip up your holes, move back. Walk up, look at the target, take your holes, move back after each firing sequence. That takes forever, and you get very little done. Consequently, a four-day precision rifle class, it was held out here in southern Nevada, not far from me in Pahrump, not a couple of months ago, they fired a total, I was told, of under 140 rounds in 4 days. Well, we'll be firing about 300 rounds in 3 days. The reason is there's not going to be the downtime, not all the walking, the gawking, the BS. We're going to have one shooting spot, and from there, we're going to engage a target at 100 yards, 200, 300, 400, 500. So five different targets from one shooting spot. Once all of that shooting's done, three-round groups at each distance, then we're going to go up there, we're going to check them, log each distance, and then go back. Then again, we're going to three rounds at each distance, go up there, log them, come back. We need to do a third time just to make sure everything is great. Fine, we have the time, we have the ammo to do it. Do it a third time to make sure everything's confirmed, and then go back. Once that's done, we move the shooting positions back 50 yards. And we now collect 150, 250, 350, 450, 550 data. Since we already have the 1 and 200 data, it's basically add together, divide by 2, we should have the 150. There are slight differences to that when we get further out. When you start shooting at 450 and at 550, 650, 750, it's not exactly. Add the 400, 500 together, divide by 2. It doesn't work out quite as perfectly, which is part of the learning sequence. The reason is the bullet path It takes a little bit longer to fly from 450 to 500 than it does from 400 to 450. Therefore, it drops just a little bit more. So it's not exactly add 4 and 5 together, divide by 2. That should be your dope. Not exactly the way it works. Some of the things that we're going to learn out there. Once we do that, we're out to 550. We're done. That should be the end of the day. And of course, we're going to go through Bill Karn's method of the precision rifle cleaning. That's going to get done. Now, if we can get that done at lunch, great. If not, then we'll find a more appropriate time to get that done. But we will get that done on day one. Then day two, we're going to move back. We're now going to be at 600, 700, 800, 900, and 1,000 yards. Once we get all those three round groups done three times at all five distances, about 45 rounds downrange, we will then move back 50 yards. We're now going to be at 650, 750, out to 1050. That will soak up day two. Day three, we will continue along this line until people's dopes start to drop off. Once you're not able to get your gun and gear to get that far, those who are still shooting for distance to log on paper will continue to do so. Those who are not, we're going to break you off onto another side range, and from there, we're going to have you shooting at a 300-yard target, 300-yard moving target. Now, I'm still in the process of trying to develop a safe 300-yard moving target that doesn't have somebody up there moving the thing back and forth or driving it. So if you have any ideas, let me know. Otherwise, one way or another, I have it out there to a few different people that I trust that can get this thing set up. So that's where you'll go. Sometime during that day as well, we will, once we get all the data worked out, we're going to set up on a bluff and shoot 50 caliber rifles at 1 mile. Just because that's a cool factor. How many people can say they've shot and hit at 1 mile with a rifle with a scope? So, where we're going to do that is we have a couple different guys coming out with 50s. And they have said, all right, if people buy 10 rounds of ammo and bring it out, they can shoot it. So, I will announce, there's a place I was looking at just the other day. I will announce a little bit later. I have to look through my notes during the break, find out what the name of that company was, where you can buy just 10 rounds. Everybody buy those and bring them out. That's great, because those 10 rounds will all be the same weight. We'll keep the same dope on the guns. So, there you go. You can go to victoryshoot.org and check it out. Nowhere else are you going to be able to shoot out to the end of predictability, the end of performance, the end of the ballistic trajectory of your round and rifle combination and get data logged at every 50 yards. So it is predictable and it is repeatable. Most places you just shoot out to 600, maybe 700 yards, and then you ding steel for a while. That's a little bit further out. We will have hard printable data. That's the advantage of this course. 3 days, $300. You can reserve your spot for $100, or you can pay for it in full. It's your choice. Go to victoryshoot.org, read up the information, and check it out. We'll talk about the cleaning kits after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Karns. You're tuned in right here to 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Karns is back.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. I checked my notes. PalmettoStateArmory.com is a place where you can get good ammo. They have... If you're going to come to this course, they have the Purvi Partisan 308, 168 grain and 175 grain, match grade boattail hollow point 308s. They've got them on other calibers as well. One of the things you'll have the opportunity to do in this course, we got a couple of guys that are bringing out 50s, 50 BMG sniper rifles. And we have an agreement that, we will be able to set up on a bluff at 1 mile away. We'll have a target set up. We're going to have some big-ass, probably steel target of some kind, so you can get some form of reaction when you shoot at a mile. So, at 1 mile, and that's, it's just so cool to be able to shoot at a mile. If you go to palmettostatearmory.com, and all of this information you'll be able to find if you go to Facebook and go to the Bill Carnes 2A Radio fan page. Click like on that. The information's on there under the heading of this class with all the different links. So, don't worry. You don't need to try to find a copy of the show and rewind it and listen again. Go to Facebook and search out Bill Carnes 2A Radio fan page. Click on that. The information's on the links under the heading of this class. That's where the links are. So, palmettostatearmory.com. You'll be able to get 660 grain, 50 BMG ammo. 10 rounds for $30. It's a $3 a round. If you order that ammo and bring it with you, you'll be able to shoot the 50 at a mile. That's all you need to do. Just order that ammo and bring it in. We need to have that ammo because if you start shooting something that is a different weight from a different source, we're going to have to redope the gun. It'll take 10 rounds to figure out where it's hitting. Probably not, but still, you get the idea. So everybody needs to bring the same ammo. So go to Palmetto State, order up 10 rounds for $30. They'll have it shipped to you. It's all good. Also, I have it available if you are going to be coming to this course and you need to, you don't want to bring the ammo with you. It's going to be tough if you're flying whatever. And you want to ship any of your gear to me to hold. I will receive the gear. You come in and I will bring it to you on day one of the course. Whatever you want to ship to me, I ship it to me, ship me your ammo, whatever you have. And I will hold on to it and bring it to you on the first morning of the course. You'll have your stuff. So bring a pocket knife to open all the crap up. If you need to do that, shoot me an email. I'll tell you exactly how to go through that process, exactly, the address, how to label it, how to send it to me. And we'll get that done. Matter of fact, that might even be the confirmation email that goes out. I believe it is. So anyhow, there you go. So we're going to talk a little bit about the precision rifle cleaning that we're going to do. I have spoken a little bit about this in the past, and I have come up with what I truly, honest to God, believe is the finest precision rifle cleaning method ever done. Because I use chemistry and metallurgy and the proper ways of dealing with the chemistry and the metallurgy to actually figure out how to get the rifle clean and keep the bore itself safe. So we'll actually go through a workshop on this. Through prodding from some of the folks who listen to the show, I have the precision rifle cleaning guide that I've written, and it's going to be available online in the next couple of days. We can go on there, and I think I charged like $15 for it or something. Go on there, you can order it and download it in PDF format. It's a total of 12 pages. It's actually 11 pages worth of information, and page 12 is all of the stuff that I talk about, and also where to get it. And not just where to get it, but the part numbers at those places. You can find them other places. You can probably search and buy one thing one place and one thing another place. There's only, I think, two or three places for all of the gear that's listed. I used to be able to get it all at one spot. And there's three or four pieces of gear that are in there that one spot no longer carries. So I found a different spot that carries it, but their prices are a little bit higher for all of the other stuff. So I don't want people to have to go around and buy stuff from 12 different sources because then you're paying 12 shipping costs. So keep it all together in one spot. And all of the liquids used come from one spot. So if there happens to be any hazmat-related, like extra little surcharge or anything on it, you're only paying it once. You're not paying it from multiple sources that you'd be ordering from. But all of that's going to be done in a workshop where we will get together, and actually with me, I'll have my rifle up there. You'll be cleaning right along with me. And we'll show you how to first field clean the rifle. Once the rifle, which is just a quick, okay, we're out there, we shot 20, 30 rounds, whatever. We're going to do a quick field cleaning. Okay, so quick field cleaning, it's done. Now we can shoot another 20, 30 rounds. Then, after we show you how to do the field cleaning, and everything looks like it's coming out clean, that's when we're going to do a detailed cleaning. Okay, so the detailed cleaning, and we might break this up into two segments. I might show you the field cleaning right there in the field, and at the end of the day, we may actually go into a spot and do the detailed cleaning so that everybody understands just how to do it. And it'll be done. You'll be done for the night. So all of this said, there are cleaning kits that are going to need to be had. Everything fits into the one box, except for the one-piece cleaning rod. Everything will fit into the box. And the beauty of this, you know, being the type of guy that doesn't want to waste motion or waste energy, I like to be efficient in everything that I do. So the box itself, if you open it up, it's got the little rifle rest inside the box. You open it up, you can use the box itself to hold the rifle while you clean it. And then all the cleaning stuff that you need, all the supplies, all of the pieces, all the materials, all the gear, all of the crap that you need is in that same box. So that's how cool it is. You get one box and a rod. Everything is ready to go. Now, if you buy all of the stuff retail, it's going to cost you around $400, $420 with shipping and hazmat and all that other garbage. Well, I'm able to get wholesale prices on it. So with that, I can get the entire kit together for about $320, I think is what it is. And so if anybody is coming to the course, or if you happen to read the Precision Rifle Cleaning Guide once I have it up online, then you want the cleaning kit, let me know. And what I do is once I get X number of kits together that people want to order, that's when I get the discounted wholesale price. I order them up, and there you go. If I have to send it to you, it's going to be the $320 plus whatever it costs me to ship the completed kit off to you. I will put the kits together because there's some assembly required when it comes to all the pieces part. There's a little bit of that, a little bit of the some assembly required, but it'll all get out to you. And there are a few specialty things that are in there, like the particular denatured alcohol that I use for a part of this. That is electronics certified, qualified 99.9% pure. There is no residual sort of water or anything that is a non-evaporate left in there. So I use the very, very best of the very, very best. And that will keep your rifle shooting for a long time. You can spend, you know, $320 on a cleaning kit, and your rifle is going to last infinitely longer if you use these products and the proper techniques. Your rifle will last you forever. You will probably not even ever shoot out the throat out of the chamber. If you do, you won't need to rebarrel the gun. Just take the barrel off, take it to a gunsmith that can trim the back of the chamber off, rechamber it, and then put it back on. You still got the same barrel. So very simply done. You don't need to buy a new barrel, build a new gun, get a new gun. You don't need to do any of that, provided you take care of your gear properly. And that's why we have this set up. So anyhow, all that information is going to be available on the cleaning guide. We will be going through it as a, it'll probably take about 45 minutes to an hour or so to go through the entire cleaning process with me in kind of a classroom setting. But everybody's going to get that firsthand. So there you go. You can expect that. Stay tuned, guys. There's more to come. We're going to talk about some Second Amendment issues and a few other things when we return from the break. So be here when I get back. You're tuned into 2A Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
And welcome back, everyone. You know, it would seem as though everything east of the Rockies and north of the state of Texas is snowed in and frozen under. So much for global warming. You know, it's interesting. Now the people who were behind global warming a few years ago, and it was about 18 months or so ago, maybe a year back, that a huge group of meteorological scientists got together and in one huge international convention and said, global warming, the theory of global warming is absolutely bogus, junk science. We are going to show to you from this consortium of thousands of scientists together in one solid group of in solidarity what this is all about. And so global warming, as it was known, went away for a very short period of time. Those who are still ignorant and don't know that they were totally debunked, still use the term global warming. What they did was they changed it now to global climate change. That's what they've done. And, of course, we're experiencing that. Let's see. This is one of the worst blizzards, nation-coding blizzards we've had in decades. Chicago's been keeping snow records since 1868, I believe. And right now they're in their third worst snowfall record that they've ever had since Civil War times. So with that being said, it's funny because even through the global warming, Al Gore, once upon a time, he was behind all the global warming. He's now saying that all along they've been saying that global warming could create more storms and more snow. Could. Yeah. That's right. What, did you put that on the internet back when you developed back in 69 too, Al? You jackass. So, anyhow, here's the thing, guys. If there's a way to make money on something that's new, realize it's probably a Joseph Goebbels method. Goebbels is the guy that came out. He was the propaganda director for Adolf Hitler during Nazi Germany, World War II. Said, you can tell any lie you want. No matter how big or outlandish the lie might be, you tell it enough times, people will start to believe it. Which is exactly the way the Nazi Party worked. Well, many otherwise considered to be legitimate governments have done the same thing over and over and over again since then, because they realized Goebbels was absolutely right and his methods worked to get people under government control. Well, we have that. We've been experiencing that at all levels of government, from townships all the way up to federal levels and all across the world. Look at all the garbage that NATO spews, for goodness sake. I mean, my goodness. I mean, they've been developing these lies at the international level for decades, ever since, you know, you have the formation of NATO and then the United Nations. Everybody just loves to spill out every lie they possibly can to enhance their government. And of course, if there's money backing behind something like this global warming garbage, same thing. Remember the Y2K scare? Remember that? Remember that? The Y2K scare. Billions and billions of dollars spent. And there was one issue that I recall actually happening, and that was with one department store in England that had some sort of a hiccup. And that hiccup resolved itself in about 20 or 30 minutes. Other than that, the Y2K scare was all bogus. But people made billions on it. This whole global climate change, formerly known as global warming, same thing. You know, they want to change all the greenhouse, blah, da, 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 da. Okay, all that stuff I'm sure is good for the environment. However, to force people to do it, because somebody else is going to make money at it, it's bogus. And to have a government behind it is just, sorry, it's terrible. Okay, we're going to move on. This is 2A Radio, so let's talk about some more gun stuff here. This comes out of the state of Wyoming. I'm going to read this to you. We've all along known the right to armed self-defense is a basic human right that is guaranteed by our Constitution. Keep in mind, the Constitution doesn't give us any rights. The Constitution recognizes and guarantees rights. Continuing on, and quite frankly, there is no better example of legislation that embodies the Second Amendment than the constitutional carry. It's the law of the land in Vermont, Alaska, and Arizona, and that's just the start. States across the country are considering legislation to do away with government tracking databases and bypass the mother may I permit process. The law is simple. If you're allowed to own a gun, you're allowed to carry it with you. Constitutional carry doesn't repeal the permit process, but it gives the option to law-abiding citizens that it's more in line with what a right actually is as opposed to a privilege. Now, just as last week in Wyoming, the state affiliate is in the thick of a fight to have Wyoming join the ranks of constitutional carry states. Wyoming gun owners is just a step away from passing constitutional carry. Wyoming's constitutional carry law requires carries nationwide importance. You see, when each state passes constitutional carry, it creates a domino effect that brings every other state closer to its own freedom-enabling law. State by state, step by step, constitutional carry is becoming the law of the land, and gun owners are regaining their right to self-defense without government's monitoring, fingerprinting, and registering them like criminals. Wyoming gun owners have been working hard, but this has been no easy task. Earlier in the week, the Wyoming bill passed the state Senate and moved closer to the state House. Wyoming gun owners worked feverishly to pass this first hurdle in the state Senate, but now with the House fight looming, the resources are somewhat tapped out. So if you're in Wyoming, you need to get a hold of the folks in the House and start kind of a grassroots effort to get it pushed the last little bit of the way. Remember, nothing happens in politics unless it's pushed. Now, there's a volunteer staff at Wyoming Gun Owners, and they've been giving it their all, and the gun rights supporters in Wyoming have been a credit to the Second Amendment supporters across the entire nation. Now they just need a little bit of help to get across the finish line. So, if you're in Wyoming, please help push by getting a hold of Wyoming Gun Owners and push your state representatives to bring the bill to a vote and to vote favorably for it. Now, they still offer the permit process because in case there's any sort of reciprocity between other states with someone who's got a permit, say, from Wyoming, if you go to Utah, you could still carry. But if you don't have the permit, then in Utah, you're not going to be able to carry. You know what? That's fine. Get a Utah permit. It's good in most states. All right? That's all you need to do. However, the whole thing with the photographs, the fingerprints, all this stuff online, the best thing to do is to continue getting constitutional carry passed in every state possible so you don't need to have any permit. You don't need to worry about reciprocity. See what I mean? There's a real issue that if I had more time and energy in my life, I would push. And I would push it with lawsuits in California. I would need time, effort, and some money to do this. But what I would do is, since I am a resident of the state of Nevada, in California, they don't offer out-of-state concealed weapons permits in California. They don't do it. You have to be a citizen of the state. And then there's a bunch of Mother May Eyes. It's left up to each sheriff of each county in the state of California how to handle CCWs. Some of them consider it a right, and they make it a shall issue. If you apply and there's no legal ramifications barring you from otherwise owning a gun, they approve it. A lot of them, it's the other way around. You're not going to get anything. Maybe retired judges or, you know, an outgoing mayor might get a CCW, but that's it. So I have thought about filing a lawsuit saying, look, I'm a citizen of the United States, but I can't protect myself in your state, and then file for discrimination. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break.
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on! I know that you are wrong, if this is not when
Welcome back from the break, everyone. I have to let you know what's happening in the Senate. Right now, the Senate has got a whole bunch of different bills that they will be bringing up over the next couple of days to be voting on. And what are the anti-gunners doing to it? What the anti-gunners are doing is they're adding little tiny bits of riders to all these other major bills, like the FAA bill, which may have something like a 10-round magazine capacity limit ban as a rider onto the freaking FAA bill. Now, I got to tell you, riders suck. They're a tiny little piece of legislation that has nothing to do with the main piece of legislation, and they tag along. Now, one that went through that actually was good for gun owners was during the Credit Card Reform Act bill of 2009. Was it 2009. I think it was 2009. Ended up going into effect about a year ago in 2010. Provided rights back to people in different states that could carry concealed or carry guns in national parks where otherwise it had been taken away based on the state in which that park is in. So that was a rider, and it was a good measure, but here's my point. No rider should exist. All bills should have to stand on their own. That is not the way it is. There are a number of rider, instead of a major gun control bill, what the Democrats are trying to do in the Senate is to attach riders to all their different little pieces of legislation. That's what they're trying to do. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to pass in the House. Those people are a little bit more put together. However, here's what happens. You get one bill that passes in the Senate. You get another bill that passes that's fairly similar in the House, pretty similar. And then they get together in a committee and they hash out the differences. So if it passes in one, it's very likely that it could end up being worked out to where it's in the stupid bill later. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to call the U.S. Senate switchboard. And I need you to get a hold of your senators and tell them, read every bill, make sure that every single rider is intact that you read, because what they'll do is it'll be literally last minute they'll tack a rider onto a bill, oftentimes just before a vote, literally minutes before a vote. Someone will tack a rider on there, nobody's read it, they vote for it, and it passes through. That's how sneaky and underhanded this dirty, filthy, disgusting legislative system of ours is. So, call the U.S. Senate switchboard at the following number. Prepare to copy. And get a hold of your senators and tell them, in a professional manner is my suggestion, this is my name, I'm a constituent out of this county or this city, and I have had it under very good information throughout the pro-constitutional, era genre, or the pro-gun movement, or whatever. Through good, solid information is even just fine. I have it on good, solid information that there are many anti-gun, anti-freedom, anti-Second Amendment measures written as riders, which could at any moment be tacked on to the end of a bill, which might be getting voted on within the next few days in the Senate. I'd like to encourage my senator, my representative, whose office you're calling, to be very aware of all those different riders and all the measures on all the bills, and to vote them down if they come up, and say why they're voting them down, because every piece of legislation should have to stand on its own. Here's that number. Area code 202-224-3121. Again, and this is through the U.S. Capitol switchboard. Just tell them who you want to talk to. Area code 202-224-3121. That right there will get you to your senator or representative. Pardon me. Got all choked up with that. So, keep that in mind, that writers suck. Now, it would be interesting if we the people could actually write the rules for the U.S. Congress and the House and the Senate. If we could actually write the rules. If I could have a hand in that, there's a couple of rules that I would have. One of my rules would be, no writers. A bill is a bill. And every piece of legislation must stand on its own. That's it. None of this piecemealing to get a bunch of garbage through. All that's ever done for this country, for the most part, is screw people. It's really just hosed us over. Now, again, I mentioned the one exception that went through a couple years back, early in the Obama regime, that we got being able to carry national parks back to a point. That was originally passed in the Bush administration. They did a lot of, for years, the Bush administration did work, and then through the executive power of the executive office, they said, yeah, you're not going to enforce this anymore. Then a liberal federal anti-gun judge said, well, the executive branch overstepped their authority. They can't do it. That ruling can't stand. That order from the executive branch can't stand, which is garbage, because it was an administrative decision based through the executive branch, through the illegal fourth branch of the government, the administrative branch of the government, or regulatory branch of the government, if you will, where the legislature, Congress, and the president get together and they pass and sign legislation and the law that says, okay, we're going to create this government entity, and they can create regulation based on the laws that's passed by Congress, so they can, you know, kind of curtail this and make their own rules, which have the full force and effect of law. Well, the executive branch is over all of those. So when the head of the executive branch, namely the president, reaches down, picks up the phone, calls up or sends off a letter to the head of an executive branch and says, you've got this particular regulatory scheme going on, and as the director of the executive branch, I order you, my underling, to no longer enforce that. The Bush administration didn't make it that easy when it came to that whole thing. However, a federal judge said, oh, the president couldn't do that. So it ended up being a rider again onto the Credit Card Reform Act of 2009 that went into effect in 2010. And now in various national parks, you can actually pack heat again. Thank you. That was done to as a rider. It should have passed on its own. You know, I hate the way that those things go. I hate the way that riders work. If we can get a couple in our favor, that's okay, but I still don't like the process. You know what I mean? I don't like the dirty underhandedness that really screws us 90% of the time, and then on the 10% of the time it works out, say, oh no, it's okay. I'm not for that. I don't like the process. Another thing is, every single member of Congress, every single member of the House, every single member of the Senate, whenever a bill is introduced and it's up for vote, there must be a rule that they must be briefed on the bill in its entirety. Not necessarily read the entire thing, possibly, but more so whoever wrote the bill, they have to end up in its form that's going to get voted on. Once it gets to a point where they said, okay, we will schedule this for vote, there can be no changes. Otherwise, it comes off the docket, they make the change, it goes back on the docket, and it doesn't get voted on for at least a week. And everybody has to go through a large briefing, and you must be present for the briefing if you're going to be able to even vote on the thing. And the briefing has to be done by an independent group, an independent organization. Maybe it's part of the Senate office staff or something. They need to digest it, say, okay, here's all the information in here. We have no need for political affiliation. This is what it is. Then you have to vote on it. I'm also a firm believer in this. Before you take the oath of office to serve in the Senate or in the House or in any office for that matter, you must be present for a full reading of the federal Constitution and all of its amendments. Then you are sworn in. And part of the swearing in says to uphold, defend, and add this, and obey the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So obey should be added in there, and they can't take the oath until they have sat through the entire reading, uninterrupted, without them taking phone calls or playing on Facebook or any other garbage. Then they take the oath of office. What do you guys think about that? Interesting stuff. If you have any comments, please send them to me, bill@2aradio.com. I'll be happy to get back with you. And we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you then.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you, Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com.